Sick of fly sprays that smell terrible, don't work, and are full of toxic ingredients? Try Bye Bye Insects from Spalding Labs. Their science-backed botanical fly spray is effective, smells great, and is formulated for horses and people. Switch to a fly spray you can feel good about and keep the bugs at bay. Learn more at spalding-labs.com. You're listening to Horse Radio Network. Part of the Equine Network family. Welcome to Sleep Stories for Equestrians. I'm your host, Ashley Winch. We're so happy you're here to relax and unwind. If you fall asleep and miss the story, we will recap it at the beginning of the next episode. We've also selected and edited these stories for ultimate relaxation, removing any stressful bits without affecting the story's integrity, so you can focus on drifting off to sleep. With that, let's settle down and prepare for our story. The gates are closed. The horses sleep. The day's work done. The chores complete. Now let us rest, our bodies and minds. Drift off to sleep. And close your eyes. It's time for us to turn down for the night. Now let's breathe in, breathe out, and turn off the light. One more time. Breathe out, breathe in. Now let us begin. On the last episode of Sleep Stories for Equestrians, we learned more about the elf's friend, Dandy. Now, we read the next chapter, Lyric and the Dentist. I was very excited to see who would come to be my new stable companions and take the places which the sale of my mother, Eros, and Chanticleer had left vacant. I had not long to wait, for very soon a handsome roan called Lyric was established in Chanticleer's old box. Lyric had belonged to a fiery old colonel who had borne with him as long as he could. In fact, until he had thrown the distinguished officer's person onto a stone heap and then run away, which resulted in the fixed determination of the soldier to get rid of Lyric as a nasty, bad-tempered beast. Colonel Saunders was an old friend of my master's and honestly told him how difficult Lyric was to manage when he made him an offer for the horse, and said straight out that he did not think anyone could manage the beast if he couldn't. Master was not discouraged in the least by this information. In fact, between ourselves, I think he was rather encouraged in Lyric's behavior. Anyhow, the nasty, bad-tempered, unmanageable beast came to live in my stable. The first time Master took Lyric out, he noticed that he pulled all on one rein, a sure sign there was something wrong with his teeth, so they only went for a short ride, and when they got back to the stable, Master at once sent a message for Mr. Polson, the dentist, to come without delay to examine Lyric's mouth. Horses need the services of a dentist quite as much, if not more, than humans do, for a defective tooth is often the cause of very terrible suffering and the sole reason of many disagreeable and dangerous vices in a horse, which are generally put down to the vicious, nasty temper of the beast by the ignorant and uninitiated. When Lyric knew that the dentist was coming to look at his mouth, he was very frightened. Lyric told me of his fears. I told him that the dentist might hurt him a little, but that he must not be afraid, for Mr. Polson was one of the most humane and gentle of men, and that Master would never employ a rough or unsympathetic dentist to attend to any of us. Lyric believed what I told him, and I must say he was very brave, for he showed less fear of Mr. Polson when he appeared on the scene and began to feel about in his mouth, more than any horse I have ever known. It's true that Lyric trembled a little and backed once or twice, but Mr. Polson always arranged for his patient of the moment to have plenty of room to back, without coming in contact with his manger. A horse seldom rears if he can move backwards. And of course, he has to face the light when his teeth are being examined. I listened eagerly to hear the report on poor Lyric's teeth, for Mr. Polson looked very serious, and was a long time before he spoke. Then he told Master that Lyric had some very badly broken and jagged teeth at the very back of his mouth, which were keeping the inside of his poor cheek quite raw, and which must hurt him horribly whenever the bit was in his mouth. "Poor creature," said Master. "No wonder he is restive and tries to run away. It is quite evident from what you say that Lyric has been trying, but alas, in vain, to get away from pain. I don't believe he has any vice or ill will in his nature, but time will prove." Mr. Polson took the broken teeth out and very cleverly, with his modern and up-to-date practical instruments, and Lyric's mouth soonly began to heal. As soon as it was quite right again, but not until, Master began to ride Lyric, and one morning I heard him tell Ricketts that he considered him a most affectionate and docile animal, and although I felt just a momentary pang of jealousy, I was really glad for Master's conquest over a horse which had come to him with such a character. It was surely something to make me and the other horses at the park feel very proud of his influence, that wonderful influence over the animal world and mind which has done and still does so much for the benefit of our kind. The one secret to good horsemanship is kindness, the ruling power of love. Horses, if properly treated and looked after, are grateful and trusting to a degree. They seldom forget a kind act, and often, very often, forgive an unkind one, in spite of their extreme sensitiveness to pain. It is only when man stoops, either from thoughtlessness, ignorance, or, low be it spoken, from sheer brutality and superior power, to inflict an unforgettable and unforgivable hurt, that the horse becomes his enemy. We all love Master because he has so much love for us, and he has made a study of our individual natures. He understands us quite well, as if we really spoke the human language. If ever a horse is either riding or driving, pulls very much, carries his head on one side, foams or slobbers in the mouth, he directly gets home and that horse is put into the dentist's hands. And to prevent our teeth from going seriously wrong and to check for any signs of decay or damage to the cheek, as in the case of Lyric, Mr. Polson regularly pays a visit to the park twice a year and thoroughly examines the mouth of every horse on the premises. Much more depends on keeping a horse's mouth right than the ordinary horse owner knows, for sharp, uneven, and defective teeth give rise to much more serious evils than a raw cheek. And surely, that is bad enough for a poor horse to have to endure. Digestive troubles, leading to all kinds of disorders and vices, are very often solely the result of neglected teeth, and these must, and ought to be, constantly looked after by a thoroughly qualified horse dentist, and not left to the care of just any novice who will nip or break off a tooth too long instead of extracting it and cause much unnecessary suffering for the poor victim. Lyric and I had many long walks together, for as yet no other new horses had come to fill the place either of my mother or Eros. Lyric had told me how hard he tried to do as Colonel Saunders wished, but that always his cheek had hurt him so much that the only thing he could think of was how to get away from the pain. Now that he had got away from pain, or, more correctly, that Master had had the cause of it removed, Lyric felt up to anything and was really a very valuable horse, gentle and docile, and he told me that he could and would do anything for dear Master. I said that nearly all of us felt like that at the park, and how I wished that all horses could have kind, understanding masters like ours. Soon after Lyric's mouth was healed, Master went to Hungary again, and Master came across a horse called Minnie. She was 3 years old, and so nervous that her trainer could do nothing with her. So when Master was staying with his friend, Mr. Montague, he persuaded him to let our trainer try what he could do. Minnie was a trotting horse, like I am, and after she had been in the hands of our trainer for just a short time, she was entered for her first race. Just before it was to take place, she was trembling in every limb, and she was very thin. Master said her beautiful, gazelle-like eyes looked larger than ever. Our trainer talked to her very gently and quietly, both before and during the race, and Minnie won. Won in spite of her nervousness and trembling limbs, and now she is not nearly such a frightened little creature as she used to be. Master says she is the fastest trotter of her age and size he has ever seen, and he wanted her master to sell her to him. But Mr. Montague only said, "Do what you like with the crazy thing. She will do anything and everything for you and your man, while I can do nothing with her, but I still want to keep Minnie for my own. I love those great, wonderful eyes of hers." And so, Master had to come home without Minnie, and Lady Beechwood's stall remained empty. But a young horse, called Eros II, was put in my brother's place. When Master left home again, Eros II was just being broken in, and he was so very fearless and high-spirited and afraid of no one. You will therefore imagine Master's surprise when, on his return, he went towards Eros II to pet him, to see the horse flinch. Master at once inquired into the cause of this, and then he reluctantly learned from Ricketts that the man he had trusted with Eros II was a drinker, and that he was not kind to the poor young horse. Fancy such a thing happening at the park. Master was furious. I don't think I have ever known him so angry, and the man was dismissed at once. And I am sure it will be no use his applying to Master for a character, for he won't get one if he does. Master cannot forgive any act of unkindness to us. In time, Eros too overcame his fears, and now he promises to be a first-rate trotting horse, like my brother, his namesake. Thank you for joining us on tonight's episode of Sleep Stories for Equestrians. Allow this gentle music to carry you off to dreamland.
Thank you.